Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends. Good evening, girlfriends.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. We want to say a howdy hello to our Arizona, our California, and our Philippines listeners, just some people that we'd heard from. A special shout out to our Canadian friends tonight, who are Sherry up in Canada is listening to us tonight, and several other people, of course, and people we don't even know.
So let's open up in prayer, and we are reading Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, The Gift in You, and Debbie's going to be talking about chapter 14 tonight. I'm going to be going into a little bit more of the temperament that you have individually. Those of you that have taken the test would be more interested in that. Those of you that have not taken the test, you can go ahead and do that by purchasing Dr. Caroline Leaf's book. Unfortunately, you cannot do it outside of that. You can find her book on Amazon.com or the Dr. Caroline Leaf website. So let's open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this night. We pray that you would be with us. Help us to remember that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're talking about chapter 14. It's called Discomfort Zone, and there are two, according to Caroline Leaf, where these discomfort zones can indicate a possible gift blocker. So the first one is the just aware level, and the second one is the adrenaline pounding, heart pumping level. If we can train ourselves to identify these discomfort zones, we are on the way to dealing with our gift blockers and being freed from the chains of toxicity and the fear attitudes they produce. The information that we get into our brain flies through the trees. She calls our thoughts, or actually you can actually see them in imagery as trees. So when we have a thought, it kind of flies through the trees, and like a breeze going through the trees. However, if the memory that we have that we connect with our new information is negative, it will cause almost like a turbulence that will start and will decrease your peace, and it will be like a tornado going through your brain. So when we experience something new, we decide whether or not it's something positive or something negative based on something that we have experienced or thought about in the past. So, for instance, if you see a dog, most people, they go to more of a love state where because they have a beloved pet or something like that. But I know someone who had their little boy with them, and this dog came tearing out of a house after them. And they were very frightened. It was a very vicious dog, and they barely got in the car and closed the door and got away. And those two people, that's probably been 40 years ago, and those two people are still very fearful of dogs after all of this time. And it's you know, the reaction that they remember how they think of dogs. They don't like dogs. And so that would be, you know, more of the negative. So if the incoming knowledge and thoughts are good and based on love, your gift and wisdom will be further developed. But if information is negative and fear-based, chemicals that disrupt thinking are released into the brain, producing stress, and manifest in some way through worry or another gift blocker. So when you're operating in love and things that are positive, your gift can expand. And if you're operating in fear and anxiety, you're not going to be able to use your gift as well. So, for instance, you know, I love to draw and paint, but if I'm in a real anxiety-filled day, I'm not going to be able to draw and paint very well. But if I'm in a good place and I'm feeling love and comfort, I'm going to be able to use my gift a lot better.
Do you, in another way, looking at that, Deb, do you feel that using your paint and artwork helps you get in that place?
Yeah.
Not just if you are in that place, but it helps you get into that place if it's something that you need.
Because that's called flow. When you're doing something that you love, you could do it all day. You don't have to get paid for it.
Right.
And time, all of a sudden, 10 hours goes by. You're in your flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the incoming knowledge and thoughts are good. So every thought has an emotional component attached to it, a chemical signature. So for instance, since there's an emotional component, people that are losing their memory, dementia, if it has a real emotional component to it, they will remember. But if it, you know, doesn't mean that much, it'll go out the window.
Right.
So that's definitely so catching the possible growth of a toxic thought is the best way to prevent a gift gift blocker from being planted and taken hold. So how can we catch these negative feelings before they get real toxic? So here are some of the ways that we can try to take hold of our negative thoughts. Accept responsibility for your thoughts. You have the ability to exercise control over them. Your mind, not just your behavior, must change. Allow God to transform you by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. Think through your problems instead of just reacting to them. Instead of beating yourself up with shame and guilt, oh, why did I do that? I'm so stupid. Ask yourself, what have I learned from this? Romans 12:21 says, to take captive every thought, to make it obedient to Christ. Turn your thoughts over to God with the help of the Holy Spirit. Focus on the right things. So in Scripture it says, whatever things are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, think on these things. And in Philippians 4:8 it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And I've thought about that a lot. I really had a problem with worry and fear a lot in the last few years, and I've really been able to overcome that. And I think, number one, having fear, I quit watching things that bothered me and gave me fear. I don't watch things like that anymore. I was feeding into it or listening to things that really bother me that's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to know what's going on, but when they start bothering me, think, no. What's the world coming to? I have to turn it. I'm just not going to feed into it. And the other thing with worry, I've really been able to give that to the Lord, the worry that I have. You know what? That's God's problem. I'm just going to put that on him. I'm going to trust him. That's what he wants us to do, is to truly trust him so that we don't have to have that worry and fear. And then it really is possible to take your thoughts captive. And we take our thoughts captive. We have a battle. Our mind is a battleground. That's what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
Our mind is a battleground, and we take our thoughts captive. They don't take us captive.
No.
Okay. So. So the next one is the adrenaline-pumping, heart-pounding level. What happens when a toxic thought takes root and does grow? After the just-aware zone and the chemicals start flowing, your attitude is about to develop into an adrenaline-pumping, heart-pounding. So once activated by a thought, you may feel a strong physical reaction. Stress chemicals start flowing, which makes your heart pump faster, adrenaline flows, and you feel that rush that almost jerks you off your feet. Cortisol flows, blocking your memory for a few minutes, and your muscles tense. Your breathing becomes shallow and rapid. But remember, God has given provision in everything, and he has given us a way to handle this adrenaline-pumping, heart-pounding level. When you feel stress that does not dissolve quickly, it is a strong evidence that you have a gift blocker, or maybe several, in action. This emotion perpetual library, the amygdala, does not always provide the truth. So you have a library of feelings that you can pull from, but they're often false. In fact, a lot of the time, the emotions in the amygdala library are quite dangerous if you follow them or allow them to control you. So as you know, fear is false evidence appearing real. So you can't trust that. So what you should do is move out of that state of stress. We use the PFC amygdala, which is the prefrontal cortex circuit, to control the raging emotions and stress response in our body. This is part of the love circuit described earlier. We do this by reasoning out the situation facing us in our mind or out loud, almost as though we are standing outside of ourselves thinking about our thinking. Acknowledging feelings is of paramount importance because the emotions, as I have explained, are dynamic chemicals that flow in the bloodstream between cells. You can acknowledge any toxic feelings and then make a decision whether you will live in them or release them. Toxic feelings don't have to be a permanent part of your thought. You do not have to let emotions control you. For example, if you may have been abused as a child and find that emotions are awakened each time you move into a new relationship, affecting the new relationship negatively,
Another example is you may have been afraid of math for years because you're not good at it. And every time you go into a classroom, these feelings well up. This will block your ability to take on any information during the lesson. So don't react to it. Think first, and if possible, put it back on the shelf and tell yourself something positive like, I don't like math because I think I'm not good at it, but I'm going to conquer this fear. And ask questions till I do understand. And if it doesn't work the first time, do it again. Getting your attitudes under control normally takes about 21 days, but the first four are the hardest. So don't give up, and it's well worth the effort. We all have the opportunity to choose to walk in the gift God has given us, despite circumstances.
Hmm. Well, how you brought up fear, I was thinking about that story of the college student who somebody had come over and he wanted to be in a certain group, and so they were going to, you know, put him through the ringer to get into the group. So they tied him to a chair and they put blindfold on him. Then they took his wrists and they took the other side of a knife, and he had seen the knife, took the non-sharp side of a knife and went like that, very hard on both sides of his wrist. Just enough to cause pain, but not to break, you know, any skin. And then they tied his arms down and told him he was going to bleed to death. And they left him there. I don't know how they made the sound, but they did have a sound.
Warm water dripping down.
Warm water dripping. There we go.
Like a fluid feeling.
Some kind of fluid and sound. There we go.
So it was dripping.
Yeah. And they came back and he was dead. And they said that his body had taken it like he had bled to death.
Yeah.
Because he was scared to death and was told that was what we was going to do, blindfolded. So I'm thinking of the power of fear, and the power of fear is absolutely huge. As you know, that there's a fight, flight, or freeze syndrome. There's actually a freeze syndrome that happens in our brain when there's so much fear, and also rage. Fear and rage are, you know, in the same place. If those of you that understand rage and know when people have gotten in that area in their life, whether they're a child or an adult, that's why they try to get them when they're a child, when they have rage, because that will help them get out of that before they turn to an adult, is, you know, the area in your body, the major motherboard, as we call it, without using all the brain terms, closes like this. And it closes to protect your brain. So when all the hormones are released, when you're in a rage, it literally protects your brain. Now, closing off that motherboard also shows you that you don't know what you're doing. So closing off that motherboard, you can get a chemical, and that would be doing drugs or alcohol or whatever, and that can also close, you know, make that close off to where you're not thinking. But closing that off, and so then you go into this rage, and you say things and do things that later on you're paying for or you really regret, and you start hurting people even, you know, verbally or physically or whatever. So what they do is we teach somebody what to do prior to go into this rage, or in your case, prior than to go into that fear. Mm-hmm. And we say, okay, you know, this is what you do if you get to that spot. So you need to calm down, calm your body, calm your mind, calm your spirit. In our case, as Christians, we pray. We disconnect ourself from the area as much as we can. And then we know what to do because we've made a plan. So I was talking to my dad about this week and stuff that I've been learning at work, and I came up with the idea with my dad that, you know what, that's what reading the Bible is all about. Because the Bible says, in the morning will I direct my prayer, and in the morning I will know what your words are. Well, I'm not a morning person. I don't know if you are. So when I first heard that in Bible college, I thought, I have to pray and stuff in the morning. I mean, I do, but I don't like the morning. Night is like when I like to work out. Night is when I like to do this stuff. I feel more awake at night. Well, if you go in the original Greek, I believe it is, in that part of the Bible, in the morning means before things happen. In the morning means get all this stuff in your system before the problems come. And then you'll know what to do when your brain closes. So faith is a fire drill. And that is to say, these are the things that I will do if these things happen in my life, and I am prepared. A fire drill happens. We know what to do. All of a sudden a fire comes. We're more prepared because we can remember a plan before we can remember how to react in danger. So that's why we read our Bible. That's why we pray. We don't just look up Scripture when we need them. We look up Scripture in the morning or before our problems when we need them, so we know what to do and where to go. So it's really important to have that daily time in your life. Psychologically, it helps you, not including just spiritually, it helps you. It's a proven fact that someone who sits down and prays, or as they say, meditates sometimes, however the secular world wants to put it, I'm going to say prayer because, of course, I know that's what it really is for me, we have a tendency to live a more balanced life. We have a tendency to not have this up and down and everything else that typically you do, number one, as humans, but number two, as women. So in order to control the things that ruin our life, we have to, ahead of time, have a plan of action and a faith fire drill, if so much. So to put a little more simple than the book, and how many would confess the book is a little over your head? Hey, you know what? Unless you've got a way smarter brain than me, it's probably over our heads a little bit. So here's a little easier way to think of these areas in your mind, okay? How many of you would say, out of the words perfect, party, power, or peace, what's the one word that you would choose from those things? How many of you would say you would choose perfection? Is perfection important to you? Perfection is very important to me. Okay, how about party? And I don't mean bad party. I mean have a good time party. Who appreciates a party? Right, it's fun. It's something you'd like to do. Okay, how about power? Who likes power and being in control of something? Yeah, absolutely. Or how about peace? Let's do peace at any cost.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew Denise would raise her hand on that one. You're just a peaceful person. The last one does not have a P to it because I had to put these on myself, and that is the supine temperament. Now, as you know, supine is laying down on your back. So somebody who has a supine temperament, have you ever met anybody where you just think they're just a servant? They are such a servant.
Butch.
Well, I agree. But
yeah.
Butch is supine. Now, these are the issues that these temperaments can have. And the first one is a perfectionist. A perfectionist, women, those of you that are like me and can be a perfectionist in some ways, can suffer depression. Because
now, when it comes to my house and things like that, I'm very
And there's different areas in your life where you're different things. So in my house, I'm not a perfectionist. In my paperwork and my schoolwork and the choir and the youth group, I'm a perfectionist. That is important to me, what is in front of me, to my strength. I realize there's things I cannot do. So the second thing is you can have, so being a perfectionist, you can have issues experiencing grace and knowing that God does not expect you to be perfect. He is perfect for us. So being able to take that in, a perfectionist is more of, we would maybe consider a type B personality in some areas. The second thing is the party personality. Where are the partiers again? There was a few in here, wasn't there? Okay, fun-loving. The bad thing about our personality is the partiers are, we're the only temperament or area of our brain that we forget where we parked our car, that we're watching a child at the mall. We will be the ones that circle the parking lot 14 times. I will tell you, and you know, it's just so real. I'm one of them too. I understand this. And I always think I'm going to have extra time getting out because I have to remember where I parked at Walmart again. The good thing about the party type personality is they're the easiest one that will take criticism. Now, it does not mean your entire life is the party personality. But in that area of your life, whatever that is, I would say, you know, Susie, I know you're a party personality. This is something that I'd recommend you work on. And you know what? Susie wouldn't get offended. Susie may take my advice, may not, but she's not going to get offended because that type of personality does not get offended that easily. However, the party personality is the one that, number one, are going to get involved in sexual promiscuity and also sometimes drug abuse, because it goes with something that has to do with fun. Also, party personalities are pendulums. They're one extreme to the other. They love you or they hate you. And you throw a woman in there, and it's even worse. Every 21 days, they're not going to like you. So next is the power personality. These are great leaders. Great leaders. Almost all the power personalities are the presidents that have won. Not the presidents that have ran. The presidents that have won. The CEOs, the CFOs, the banker in the highest mortgage area. These are going to be the power personality. However, they're not going to have as many friends because they come across as bossy. They come across as, I don't want you to tell me what to do, and they're highly offensive. However, they're good leaders. And what I had on here before, and we've talked about before, is train wreck. They can be what's called a train wreck, and that is, you know, our friend Patty's husband worked on a caboose and said that it was miles after they hit somebody, they knew they hit somebody. They had no idea they hit anybody. They said they can go through a station and not realize there's a cat or dog or whatever, and they ran over and killed him, and it's 2 miles later before they finally got on their brakes and realized that they hurt somebody back there. Because nobody told them, and they were in a mission. And this is what choleric or power personalities can do. They can say whatever they think, say it right then, not care who they hurt, and us in the back who are the peacemakers and the perfectionists are going, and they don't even know that happened. So then there's the peacemakers. Who is the peacemaker, people? Again, you can suffer depression because you are the ones that don't say what your needs are. We're the spouses that make everything perfect for our husbands and nothing perfect for us. We're the ones who want this done over here, and we don't care about our own feelings.
We take the burnt toast. There was a book written. It's called Burnt Toast, and it was,
and
like the mom takes the burnt toast. That's okay. I'll just take the burnt.
The smallest.
I could make more.
Right.
Toast, but I'll just eat the burnt toast.
It's just easier.
So this is the piece. And then the last one, that would also be considered more of a supporter type personality.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who supports someone else, and it's okay, but our neck hurts all the time and we have ulcers and nobody knows about it. And then lastly, the supine, or the one laying down on their back. This is the one who's a servant. So this is the problem that the supine personality has. They do everything for everybody. They're the one running all over the place. This is the Mary and Martha story in the Bible. This is the one running all over the place, doing everything for everybody else. And then they finally get mad at the end and they blow up. And they say, look at all the stuff I did for you. And the sanguine personality turns around with a great big smile and says, we never asked you to do any of it. Why did you? We never asked you to do any of it. So they're the ones extra serving that we're not asked to extra serve, but that's what they're doing to get the attention of someone else. So this is why people either get along or don't get along in many areas. Now, you're not 100% one or the other, because you have in three different areas. You have it in one, your social life. You can go right under there if you want.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess Him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office at 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors at the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.